Let's be clear, a podcast where we control the narrative. From music to sports, betting, and entertainment, you can guarantee that topics will be discussed. I'm your man, DJ Motormane, and this is my co-host, Pizzle. Yeah, like, some of the throws that he's making in the pocket and on the run are just... There's not too many guys that can make it.
Yeah, that
throws.
One where he broke out to the right and got away from that defender and then threw that joint on the money.
Yes.
That joint was scary, man. But yeah, man, so I don't know. But I'm definitely looking forward to this weekend. Boy, we go down that road to that dirty ass city.
This is what's funny to me about this is just even bigger than the football itself. Washington and Baltimore are not that far away from each other, but anybody that doesn't know,
it's a whole different world.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. You can't call somebody from Baltimore, Washington. And you can't, or DC, I would say, and you can't
DMV.
Say, yeah, DMV is Baltimore because it's not. So
yeah.
We got the Commanders and we got the Ravens in Baltimore. How do you?
Baltimore would rather be considered Philadelphia than to be considered DMV. All they want to do is ride dirt bikes. Ayo, Dommy. What it do, Dommy? We
what
gonna
it
go
do,
down
Dommy?
Dommy, yeah. But nah, this gonna be a big test for us, man. Stopping that freight train. It's gonna be interesting to see. And stopping Lamar from running. Even though Lamar has been throwing that thing pretty good this year, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's an MVP. He probably on pace to get another one. It's just interesting to see what we're going to do with them. I think their defense ain't quite what it used to be. So I feel like this game might go back and forth. I just, honestly, me personally, I want to see us stop that freight train, old Henry. I want to see us stop him. Of course, I'm worried about Lamar. I ain't trying to shit on Lamar. That dude is out of this world. To me, as far as like athletic quarterback wise, he's probably like the second best to me, and that's just because I'm a. Hey, listen, Mike Vick did some things. That was a dirty dude, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, ain't nobody going to Lambeau and do what Mike Vick did.
Not at all.
Against that Wrangler wearing motherfucker. but back to this, Joan. I really think it's going to come down to both offenses. Well, let me not say that. I think it's going to come down to their offense versus our defense. If we could somehow find a way to get four stops, four punts, four, I think we got a great chance to win this game. I'm really worried about Travis Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry. I said Travis Henry. Good God, I'm showing my age, boy. But yeah, I'm really worried about the freight train. Just because we just started being able to stop the run a little bit. And he's a different character. So, you know, he one of them dudes. He's a creative character. And the thing is, it's not like he slowed down a little bit. The last two games, that dude had like 2 60-yard runs.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, like, I can see you still that big, but you still got the wheels. But yeah, I think it's gonna come down to our defense versus their offense. And can we control Lamar? And it's funny because I would rather control him and try to keep him in the pocket than to like just go all out and blitz, and then he makes somebody miss, and then boom, now he can run for 15, 20 yards. I'd rather try to have him beat us with his arm than his legs. And not to say he can't throw, because he definitely been throwing. By the way, Mark Andrews had 5 catches. So
But, that's hey, right, and traded his bum. Yeah, ass.
But the thing is, man, they got three. They got three tight ends, man. They got
and
three.
Likely was still the recipient of the touchdown. So, I
oh
mean,
yeah. Then the other dude almost had like 100 yards or something. And then it was Andrews with like 48 yards or something like that. I was like, these motherfuckers going double tight. Tackle over. I'm like, damn, these boys, they putting three tight ends in the motherfucking jungle. Hey, I mean, but that's cool because, you know, they like to run anyway, so do what you got to do. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be a good game. I want to see how we show up in Baltimore, speaking of fan-wise. I think we can sneak, you know, a good amount of fans up in there. But, yeah, man, it's going to be one. If I just tell you this, if you local, yeah, I think that game at 1, you better get everything done before 10:30 if you think you're going to hit the highway, because that joint will be packed.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I try to hit the beltway late.
Yeah, man. So, hey, man. But definitely looking forward to it. Anybody listening to this, please don't call me at 1 unless it's a dire emergency, because you will get that, what's that, double tap on the right-hand side on the iPhone? I'm not even going to test the red. I'm going to just double tap that joint on the right. I don't know what it's really for, but I know it tell motherfuckers I'm not answering that telephone. So, but yeah, man. I'm so excited. I think this is really like one of our first big tests. And you know, we'll see where we stand after that. And then we go into a little schedule. It looked a little softer. The Bears getting a little better. The Giants always scare us, but we'll get into that at a different time. But you know, what do you think about this game?
Well, you know, the Ratbirds are a division rival. So I watch. I pay close attention to everybody in our division. You know, after beating the Bengals the way they did, they're starting to look scary again. But I'm still not convinced that they have the defense to really, like, you know, win those tough games. Now, you know, division games are different. They play each other twice a year, so. Obviously, yeah. You gotta make good on those mistakes that the other team makes. So that's really why I think the Ravens even won last week. Because if it wasn't for the McPherson missing that kick, the Ravens would have been 2-3 instead of.
But they played that too conservative, man.
They did. But I think you know, going into this week. Against, you know, the Redskins. I want to call y'all the Redskins so bad all the time. against the Redskins.
You from here. Commanders. You from here, man. You know.
against the Commanders this week at home, you know, my heart says Commanders. My head is saying that somehow the Ravens will figure out a way to win this game, but I'm really hoping that my head is wrong on this one, because I've loved what I've seen from the Commanders' offense. I do think, like you said, the big test will be you guys' offense versus their defense, because, like I said, I'm not convinced that the Ravens' defense is that good. Hamilton is still a threat. But, you know, there's not anybody else besides, like, the D-line. And Roquan Smith is still, you know, a perennial all-pro.
Yeah, for sure.
But that defense still doesn't scare me yet. I do think that Washington can come out, still run that offense, and be able to win this game. And if you guys go down and score, listen, if y'all get to 30 points, I think it's a win. If they keep y'all under 30, I think it's a win for them, because they can control the clock with that freight train they got in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want Lamar to get loose either, because he can control the clock as well by, you know, get looking guys off and making crazy throws like he did to Isaiah, like, which I have to touch on real quick. Did you see that? That pass?
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the craziest. Like you said, I've seen Michael Vick do some things, but that pass that he made last week against the Bengals was one of the craziest passes I've ever seen. To go juke a guy, stiff arm the guy to the ground, run to the right side, out, almost out of bounds, throw across his body, deep in the end zone, and still make it where likely was head tapping the guy.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, it's going to be a low to the ground pass. No, that was a crazy, crazy pass. But no, if I had to make a prediction, though, no, I'm gonna go with the Commanders on this one. I think the Commanders will come out victorious.
I got you. I say the Ravens 31-28.
That's a good one. So you saying Ravens 28, Commanders 31?
No.
Oh, you saying Ravens? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm gonna go with the. I'm gonna go with the Commanders on this one, and if I had to put a score to it, I'd say this should be another high scoring game, and I'm gonna go 34-31.
All right. Okay. On to the next one.
Adam Schefter reported early this afternoon that the New York Jets fired Robert Saleh.
They play in New Jersey.
They do play in New Jersey. The New York Jets fire Robert Saleh. And it was also reported that he was escorted out of the building by security after he was fired. And then just to give another quick pro quo, before being fired, it was reported that Saleh was considering firing Nathaniel Hackett. So what say you about this firing by the Jets?
I ain't going to hold you, and it's probably not good radio etiquette. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to give you a whole lot on this. I'm going to say, fuck you, A-Rod. You keep getting coaches fired. We know it was you. And I hope the Jets sit on a motherfucking 10-inch cock like Diddy and kill yourself. Not really kill yourself, but sit on a 10-inch cock and ride that motherfucker. Because y'all going to keep following this 50-year-old man who can barely throw the ball, even though people keep saying he's the best thrower of the football, who got one championship ring. Fuck you, A-Rod. That's all on A-Rod. Fuck him. I hope Saleh goes somewhere and continues to be good. I would like to see him maybe go back to San Francisco. But then again, if he goes somewhere, he might not be able to get the money he's guaranteed. So, matter of fact, sit at home and get that guaranteed money until that shit is cleared up and you can get your money and sign somewhere else. That's all I got.
I don't really have a dog in the race with this one. Like you, I do feel like Rodgers is the reason that he was fired. I don't understand the expedited reason for them to dismiss him like this. It's only been 5 games. I heard that it hasn't been a firing like this from the New York Jets in a long time. So I don't understand really what warranted him being let go in this matter. And even, you know, I felt like he was a pretty good coach, you know, for that team. You know, if we were choosing coordinators over the coach, I would have gotten rid of the coordinator before I got rid of that coach. Now, I am hearing also that Albright, the defensive coordinator, will be the interim head coach, not the OC, Nathaniel Hackett. So,
right.
A-Rod, I guess whatever diabolical plan you had to get Hackett as the head coach didn't work, because now Albright's going to be the head coach.
Yeah, but they all they doing now is covering their ass and just not – they creating a different narrative. They knew if they gave it to Hackett, everybody was going to blame A-Rod and then this, that, and the third. So they just – all they doing – Albright know what it is. He know he just got the job because they couldn't give it to Hackett at that time. He know what time it is. He going to still go suck A-Rod and suck Hackett and fucking be like, what do y'all need? What do y'all want?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't really see why they were so hasty to get rid of the man right now. I mean, I knew that all of those coaches were on the hot seat because they hadn't produced, they hadn't been the team that had these lofty goals, especially since
Rex
attaining,
Ryan.
Well, yeah, not even just Rex Ryan, but since they acquired Aaron Rodgers, they have been named by every media outlet as a team to watch and a possible playoff contender to go for the chip because they got Aaron Rodgers. When everybody knows, even a blind man can see, they got no real offensive line. I mean, their offensive line did get better this year, but, I mean, they're still not that good. Aaron Rodgers is still getting – and, you know, I don't know if it's whether it's schemes or what, but Aaron Rodgers is still getting blindside, backside sacked. He's still getting hurried, and he's still getting hit on a lot of plays. So, I mean, for a 40-something-year-old quarterback, that's not really what I would want to see. And if I'm the owner of this team, instead of being so quick to fire the head coach, you should have been quick to enforce some better hiring and also scouting, because you didn't do a good job with putting a force field or security, as you would call it, around your old ass quarterback. And that's pretty much how I'm gonna leave that.
Man, I ain't gonna say no more. The Jets be jetting, so let their ass jet it up. I hope y'all jet to the fucking losing season again.
Yeah, we see their ass in a couple weeks, so I'm hoping that they stink so we can whoop up on them as we should.
Yeah.
On to college football. There was a lot of upsets this week again. One was probably no bigger than this one, being the Alabama upset against Vanderbilt.
Roll and, damn Tide.
I don't give a shit about nothing but the Tide. I don't
give a Only piss about Tide that y'all won tide. With this week was washing them dirty ass overalls y'all had.
I couldn't believe it. A meme popped up. I don't know if it was during or after the game, but Nick Saban had said before that the only team, and I don't know if he actually said this or not, but he probably did. The only team that we never struggled with was Vanderbilt. And he was right. When Nick Saban was there, they never struggled with Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt turned into a team that Alabama never seen before. And, I mean, the tape speaks for itself. If you saw any of that game, they struggled right out the gate. Vanderbilt's quarterback looked like freaking Brock Purdy out there.
Pavi or whatever his name is.
The receivers and the backs were running harder than they've ever ran. And shame on the Alabama Crimson Tide, because I don't know if they actually got up for that game. I mean, it didn't look like it. It looked like they, like, you know, they played around with their food and, you know, they became food and they tried to come back and make a crazy comeback. And the only bright spot that I'll say, because there may have been others, the only bright spot that I'll say Alabama has that they had in that game is that 17-year-old kid, Williams. That kid, I think his average catching is like 56 yards a catch. Like, dude, Dude always gets either yak, crazy yak, or he's getting a deep ball in the end zone and makes a crazy catch. Like, the kid's unbelievable. But Alabama got their damn ass whipped, and it wasn't ever really close, even though they did kind of close the gap.
Man, listen, I would kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for that moment to where, okay, Vanderbilt mistakenly makes a mistake and they give over the ball. And it was just like every time they got put in third and long, they made a play. And they kept making plays. And you could see them start to believe. And it was just like, it was pretty different to see like a team actually starting to look, and you could see their confidence building. And then like, it was little things. So they would go in motion and then come back underneath. So like the safeties and stuff were falling back, and it would be a linebacker one-on-one with the running back. But he also looking at that quarterback, cause he was running somewhat. And so you had to keep your eyes on him. So 13 Malachi Moore, who we'll touch on later, you know, kept getting sucked inside a little bit, pause, and then that running back would come out the backfield, or the receiver who was in motion would come out that backfield and catch a little dump pass and take it 12 yards, 16 yards. And they kept doing that, kept doing that. Then they would go up top, and then it was, then they would run the ball. And it was like, yo, you never seen Bama get run on like that. And it was just, you could see the momentum and the believability starting to come in Vanderbilt's way. Like they just felt, it just felt different. And I was like, dang, like they really might get this done this time. And it was, man, it was a chore to see, man. Cause if you really think about Vanderbilt, they should have beat Missouri.
Yeah.
This ain't what they say, this ain't your grandmother's Vanderbilt. You know,
this ain't the same Vanderbilt that got their ass whipped by the Crimson Tide of past.
And the thing is, and you know, I hate to see it because you know he was a brother, but Derek Mason actually bought in some good recruits. He just couldn't win. And I think the coach now is starting to, you know, the kid's been there a little bit. He's starting to see, yeah, we did get some goddamn good recruits. And he's starting to use them and use them in different ways. And I, you know, hey, that just, they used to say any given Sunday, what we had, 4 or 5 upsets this weekend?
Yeah.
I mean, Washington, who ain't been the normal Washington, go out and beat Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it was a chore to see this weekend. It was great
Missouri
to see.
Missouri loss.
Yeah.
Texas A&M beat them down.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, everybody thought last week was going to be, everybody was like, man, that college football, said, man, ain't nobody trying to see these games right here. But that just show you, man, you don't know until you know. You know, college football nowadays, especially with NIL and just, a lot of coaches are just recruiting what they know they need. I ain't going to say, you know, I need this 5-star. He might not fit your system like that. I'm going to get this gritty ass 3-star. And I'm gonna make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Almost how I hate to go back to y'all. Almost what the Steelers used to be like. I'm like, fuck you. I got a linebacker right behind you that just as hungry. Greg Lloyd, gone. See you later. Mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's things like that. You recruit to what you know and what you need, not to whatever their star is. So, but now it was great to see. Now could I say it's best upset ever? I wouldn't say that. It's one of the biggest upsets ever. I would say App State is up there. Fuck, we lost to Jacksonville State 1 year. Yeah. So shit. So
yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. You know, bullshit. So and matter of fact, they had an old five star quarterback on their team that year. Transferred from LSU. But yeah, no, that was great to see somebody actually punch him in the mouth. Now, we all know Alabama ain't going nowhere. They're going to make the top 12.
Yeah.
They gonna
now,
make
I don't know if they, I mean, sorry to cut you off. I don't know if they have the same allure with this new head coach. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think that they will be ousted, but I'm saying, I feel like Nick Saban would tip the scale in a lot of times.
I think the last 2 years they haven't had that. Saban's last year, they only got in because everybody knew it was Saban's last year. Other than that, they don't get in that playoffs.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. They got in basically off of the fact that they beat Texas, and Texas was the third best team that they had marked as the third best team. So it was like, okay, well, how can we not put Alabama in and they beat Texas?
And it took a miracle to do that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, we might as well touch on Malachi Moore.
Should he
be suspended?
Well, they already said they're not going to suspend him. But if I'm the head coach, he's suspended at least a half, if not that whole game. You got to make a statement. One, this is your first year at Alabama. You got to make a statement. You ain't Nick Saban. Ain't no, we going to do shit behind closed doors. We going to make them fucking do 7,000 bear crawls, or fucking, we call it Panther Pride, where you run up and down the field. But, no, you got to make a statement. And these players looking at it like, hey, so the next dude going to look at it, and mind you, this is from a team captain. So I can go out here and act ass, and you, okay, what you going to make me do? Go to give out food to the homeless or something like that? Come on, man. You setting the wrong example this early, man. And it's, you know, I'd have took his captainship or something. I mean, you got to do something, man. This behind-the-scenes shit is bullshit.
Yeah, I am of the old school where something would have to have been done, and it would have to have been something that not only he understands, but it would have to show others that, like, this is not to be tolerated. So after seeing, you know, the video, because I didn't see it at the time that it was happening live, you know, it was like two or three plays where
he was doing other shit early in the game too, like flexing on people after he would tackle them, like throwing back to the ground a little bit. Yeah, I mean, the dude, he was doing shit all game, man. Ignoring the coaches, ignoring his sub to come in. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, he was waving the coaches off. He was waving his subs off. He threw his mouthpiece, and then, you know, he went and kicked the ball after the ref said it. Like, that's unacceptable.
My high school coach wouldn't have took that from our best player.
And that's what I'm saying. As the coach, you cannot come in, like you said, you're not Nick Saban. So there is no standard set for you yet. So this is where that standard has to be set. You come in and you got to let this kid know. If I'm him, it wouldn't have just been handled behind closed doors. And if it was internally, like you said, he wouldn't have been a captain that following week moving forward. And he wouldn't be starting the next game. I don't know if I would have sat him the whole game, but he would have been sitting out to start the game for sure. Because I was gonna say, because on national television, you acting an ass, and you acting an ass against a team that just downright beat your ass. It's not everyone else's fault that y'all got your ass beat. It's you and the rest of that team that has to take accountability for that. But that's not the way you handle it. And, you know, I don't like it because, again, he's a young guy. It shows these young kids that play you football, play you sports, that this is a way that, you know, I might be able to do that and get away with it because, look, head coach didn't do nothing. You know, he's still going to be playing next week. He's still going to be a captain next week. And that's not how captains act, and that's not how anybody with that privilege should act. If you got the opportunity to start in a Power Five school like that, and you act like that after a bad loss, shame on you. And I do feel like more should have been done. I wouldn't have suspended him, but I definitely would have taken his captain flag away, and he definitely wouldn't have been starting. He would have been sitting the next game for sure.
So you suspended him, basically.
Well, yeah, I guess for two quarters or whatever it is that I felt like is good enough to set an example that this shit won't be tolerated. You ain't going to be able to do that and get away with it.
I mean, technically, I believe he got thrown out of that game. So if you really want to go by the letter of the law, I think he did. You're supposed to sit out until the quarter of what you got thrown out in. But it's Alabama. They probably just said they gave him a 15-yard penalty. But anyway, let's go back to him real quick. First of all, it's a bad representation, or it could leave a bad taste in alumni's mouth. Then let's further it. You're in Alabama. You're a young black man. You acting an ass. Most of your boosters are older Caucasian men. That ain't gonna keep going down like that.
Not at all.
Now listen, I root for you on Saturdays. But remember, you in Alabama, boy, and people can look at that how they want to look at it. But let's be honest with what stuff is. It's some sundown towns out there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody like that, but you gotta be honest, and you know, until we can all learn how to speak the truth about different colors and races and all that, the world is never going to change. And I'm not saying all everybody is like that, but best believe it's a good amount. As a coach and an offensive coordinator, I can't say what I want to say, but they were definitely high-class coaches at the time of what I can speak on. And they definitely called them, the black kids, ERs. And won a national championship the year after he said that. So, anyway, and I know that for a fact, though. So, anyway, but you got to be careful what you wish for, man. Or, you know what I'm saying? You can't be that dude, especially when you're at Alabama, Georgia, you know, these major, and we can talk about top five, these motherfuckers in the league of they goddamn own, okay? Every once in a blue moon, they might lose a game or two. Them two right there in a goddamn, man, Texas starting to be that goddamn way. But we almost were for a second. But you just got to be careful. You can't be that kid that okay, I didn't get picked, so I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah, that's not the right attitude at all.
You can't be. And then you're setting the wrong example. And like I said, for me, I'd had to suspend him. Now, I'm going to give him that Oreo, what they call it, the Oreo or sandwich effect. I'm going to come in. I'm going to give him some nice. I'm going to cuss his ass the fuck out. I'm going to give him what he need to hear. And then I'm going to finish with, you know, hey, listen, baby, this is a learning curve. We got to learn from this. We got to get better. You know what I'm saying? You're going to make sure, you know, you're not going to ostracize him. You're not going to do that. You're going to make sure, you know what I'm saying, he fucked up. But at the same time, no, hey, you one of my babies. I don't care
like
what
a parent.
Ever had, you know what I'm saying? And not like that. You know, if you take it the wrong way. But yeah, you my goddamn kid. As long as you here, your parents entrusted me to take care of you. I'm just going to let you learn how you supposed to learn. So that's all I really got on that.
I agree. Now, let's keep it in college football a little bit longer. Is this the best, one of the best college football seasons so far?
I think college football a couple years ago really started to show what's that parity, and I think this week really showed you, man, it's really not a huge difference besides, and I can't say Alabama right now, obviously, because they just lost to Vanderbilt, but still, we know 9 times out of 10, they're going to line up and beat fucking Vanderbilt. Georgia, Alabama, Texas is starting to, kind of get in that range. They got two quarterbacks that probably could go play in the NFL right now. A little Manning out there throwing fucking damn near 400 yards every time he go out there.
Yeah, but, Arch is crazy.
Yeah. So I just think, and then look at the who was that? Army and what's it called? Undefeated. Air Force, I think. It's one of them two. Army Navy or what? Yeah, I think it's Army Navy. I think both of them are undefeated. Hey, it's a good chance if they stay undefeated that one of them make the college football 12. I mean, it's good football everywhere, man. And then it's Alabama. I hate to keep harping on that, but it's other teams too. Michigan, you can't just show up somewhere now and just stay. Hey, you see the name on the jersey on my, you see this motherfucking name on my chest, man. We about to spank y'all. That ain't happening like that no more, man. These teams coming out here and playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how good they are this year, but a couple years, the last two or three, James Madison out of Virginia, them mugs will go play anybody, and they giving them motherfuckers some blues. Them mugs, because they done moved up to D1. You know, they were 1AA. They D1 now, so, I mean, just little things like that. Yeah, I believe this is definitely one of the best college football seasons. Now, is it for the person that just wants to see blue bloods or, you know what I'm saying, some shit like that? Probably not. But for someone that just loves the sport of college football and wants to see some shit go down and like see some real football, because everybody got their different things of what they do. Because it's tough to line up and go play Navy and you only get 3 days to practice, you know, the fucking wing T, and they run that shit to the fucking T. You know what I'm saying? It's tough to get, especially as a linebacker, you gotta read this and you gotta read that. If you ain't reading that guard the right way and he fucking go the opposite direction, you gone. So it's just little things, and that's what I love about college too, is everybody run different shit. So every week you guys learn different things, different keys, different. So I think things like that, one, help you as a player, and then two, like shit. Like, you gotta put your motherfucking best cap on every week.
I agree.
Man.
I like you believe that this has been one of the best seasons so far. Now, I can't say it's the best, but I think it's one of the best. And like you said, it has been different parity, but whenever I think of like best seasons, I always think back to our beloved Knowles and seasons when Bobby Bowden was the coach and we had those all-star teams that we had, your Peter Warwick, your Warwick Dunns and so forth. But even the year that Mike Vick played the Noles in the Sugar Bowl and he just fucking
99.
Did crazy stuff to him. I mean, he was breaking guys' ACLs and shit. Mm-hmm. That'll still go down as one of the best seasons I've seen from just like one player.
No doubt. They got blown out twice in one game.
They did. but just being the prospect NFL prospect. But as far as seeing, like you said, other teams' names being thrown out there, like your Navy midshipmen, like your Georgia Techs, who unfortunately came out and did some things that I didn't want to see in the first game. North Texas Mean Green.
Hey, that's number date.
Number they've four been, in passing in the nation.
Yeah. And now, they've been putting shit together the last couple of years. I ain't gonna hold you.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just It's just things like that, you know. Army leading the nation in rushing doesn't necessarily surprise me because that's all they do is run the ball. But then you have your teams like Boise State with that running back, Ashton, who has 1,000 yards already, over 1,000 yards already. Like, the kid has video game numbers in these games. I mean, I know Boise State isn't playing Alabama and Texas A&M or anybody yet, but I mean, just to have 1,031 yards in what, 5 games? Like, the kid has just been doing crazy stuff. Like, he's averaging 10 yards a carry. He already has 16 touchdowns. So, you know, just to mention a few things that I've noticed, and then I gotta give a shout out to Pitt as well.
Pitt, yeah, first undefeated season.
Yeah, since 1991. Yeah. And they're actually right now fourth in the nation in offense at 521 yards a game. So I do think this is definitely one of the best college football seasons I've seen in probably ever when it comes to the Power Five schools not just dominating and it's being a little bit more unpredictable as to who will win some of these games every week.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But I do want to touch on something else again. Where the hell are Knowles at, man? Like, is it the coach? Mm-hmm. We went from an undefeated team, lose the bowl game, to we haven't won a game since.
We've won one game.
Well, I know, but it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it.
Hey, man. Nah, I really like Norvell, man. He put too much trust into DJU.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that the guy behind him is better, but I think I would have sat DJU by now.
Some of the receivers didn't pan out like we thought they would. Hakeem just started playing how he should play. They kept trusting in Morlock early. He can't catch a cold right. No, it was just a lot of, I guess you could say some of it's on the coaching, but I just think some of the players that we have just are not performing like they thought. So like Darrell Jackson, I thought he was going to be an animal. One, he ain't played in like 2 years, so I thought he was going to come out with like a vengeance. He ain't been doing a whole lot. Farmer's been okay. Patrick Payton is realizing that you ain't the same motherfucker without Verse on that other side and Fisk in the middle. So, you know, with them two getting the doubles, you normally get that one-on-one. And now they probably dubbing you a little bit more. So his stats have went down tremendously to the point to where he was probably a first-round draft pick. And then now, I would say he's between a second and third rounder, so he probably should have left. But he might end up having to come back. Like, if he come back, I don't think he'll come back to us. I think he'll take an NIL to a different school. I think he would go to like a Georgia or Alabama or somewhere. Nah, it's just, man, it's just a lot of people not showing up, and it's really showing. Took a bad batch of kids, I think, from the transfer portal. This is the first year that it's really been bad for him. He's capitalized on it so much. But yeah, it's just it's depressing times at FSU. But you real no fans, man. I still watch every week, man. It's tough to watch.
We're going to rock it out still. It is tough to watch, though.
Yeah, it's tough to watch because, I mean, at least if we were scoring. Now, Brock played all right last week. He started to get a little warm towards the end. But the thing was, we couldn't stop Clemson if we wanted to. They did whatever the hell they wanted to do against us, man. So it was just, it's frustrating, man. Especially like on the defensive side where we were supposed to have our front seven was supposed to be all right. And it's like, man, I'm gonna get some shit. And it's just, I don't know, man. We can't stop the run. It's just out of control, man. Now, we did, everybody gotta remember, we had 15 guys get drafted, man. So yeah. it's not like, you know,
the whole team down there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when you're not used to that, and that's like your first year. See, Bama and Georgia, they done had them stocks, so they know, okay, 11 dudes getting drafted. We got 11 more working their way in. We that was our first year to really having like that type of squad in a minute. And it was just like, you know, we ain't had nothing to back it up with. We thought we did, but those players ain't playing like they should have, man. And it's frustrating. I think we need a new D coordinator. Atkins needs to go back to coaching the offensive line only, I think. He does a great job down there. I think, if I believe Novell's calling the offense, I think he might need to get that up. He just might need to be a head coach. He just might need to, you know, straddle the sidelines and go around practice and just, you know, put your whistle and have it going around your finger and shit like that.
he can be the face and do the recruiting and all of that.
And that's the other thing. We got coaches that can't fucking recruit.
And that's the problem. Awesome. I feel like before Florida State really could recruit itself just by the name and by the prestige, but now, you know, it's not like that anymore.
No, that shit is over with, home.
Norvell has got to go out and get some real bona fide talent.
They can't recruit high school kids.
And that's what I was about to say. You're in one of the deepest places to find talent at. I mean,
that's
you
true.
Got,
Florida been in a little slump lately, though.
They have, but you look at it like this too. You got UCF, you got USF, you got the U, you got Florida, and you got Miami. Besides Florida State, all of these schools are getting talent, and these kids from Florida are going to these schools. But, you know, they're not going to Florida State like it used to be. And not all of them, I'm not saying all of them are going to Florida or to U either like they used to. But
they'll pay Uncle Luke, man.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to be a change in the guard as far as
you got to pay Uncle Luke.
There has to be a change in guard of what's going on down there at Florida State because It's not good. It's not good as a fan, especially a longtime fan, to see how, you know, we had that one good season and then, you know, we kind of just went right back to mediocrity and
mediocrity.
It's not even mediocrity at this point, but settling for what type of team we have right now. You know, I for one have mixed feelings on a transfer portal. You know, I think it's worked out great for a lot of players, but I feel like some kids have abused it, and unfortunately, I feel like DJU is one of those kids. Like, you know,
he's coming back for another season.
Well, that's great, but I mean, this is what his fourth team in like 3 years, third team in 3 years. Like, he's transferred every season.
He won't be back with us, but he's coming back.
Oh, to the transfer portal, yeah. So that's what I'm saying, like that, because
he still has his COVID year.
That's not cute. You know, it doesn't really show that these guys have any, you know, will to like push through adversity at all, or even like stick-to-itiveness to like say, you know, I want to fight with this team, regardless of what the roster looks like. It's just none of that anymore. It's like everybody want to click up, or everybody wants to go to the, you know, whatever promised land they think it is. And unfortunately, this kid hasn't seen that the grass ain't always greener everywhere you go. And sometimes you might need to look in the mirror, my guy, because the problem is probably you. And,
yeah, he'll probably go to like San Jose State or somewhere like that, somewhere on the West Coast. He's gonna go back to his home, I think, and just he'll play for one of them teams like that. And he'll be all right and just go home with his father.
Yeah, unfortunately, it ain't good in FSU. But to touch on Florida teams. Is the U lucky or are they just really good? I'll go first. I'm gonna say, if you look at their stats, they're leading the nation in offense. They're top five, I believe, in defense. So if you look at their stats, I think they're really good. But if you've seen any of their games, even the last two, I want to say they're really lucky, honestly, because I would say as good as they are, they've been just as lucky because they should have lost that Virginia game. Was it Virginia or Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech.
They should have lost that Virginia Tech game. It was ruled a touchdown at the end of the game, and then somehow they came up with refutable evidence that it wasn't a touchdown or wasn't a catch. And really, from all angles that they kept showing that catch, there shouldn't have been any way that they reversed that.
Correct.
They should have went with the original call, and it should have been a catch and a touchdown. But it didn't, and they won that week. And then they faced Cal, and Cal was digging in their shit, no homo, and they somehow, you know, held on and came back and won that game. So, you look at the kid Cam Ward. I like their quarterback. He's balling. He's leading the nation in passing yards and I think touchdowns as well. They look the part, but I'm not ready to crown them just yet. So I would say that they're more just as lucky as they are good.
Yeah, they're a good mix of both. They got the refs cheating for them, too. They got the ACC cheating for them. The ACC was going to make sure Miami won that Virginia Tech game because they want somebody in that 12. Now, they might still get Clemson and them, but I doubt it. They want to make sure that Miami stays undefeated as long as they can. So, that Virginia Tech jump was more so lucky. Cal just, man, you just felt it that whole last drive. Cal was about to gear that shit up, man. That shit was depressing. I hate to say this. I feel like we can get Miami some go.
The Noles?
Yeah. They don't scare me like that. They ain't like, it ain't like they out here like just dunishing people. Like they struggling a little bit. I mean, we beat Cal.
They look beatable.
We beat, like, Cal scored 6 points on us. Cal scored like 30 something on us.
Yeah, I think they had like 38.
Yeah. So like Miami don't put that fair, like Clemson, I knew, first of all, what's it called, was going for the record. And they wanted to beat IS since last year. So with us in Miami, I feel like we can give them some go. But, I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on Miami because it's Miami. But they ain't all what they chalked up to be, I don't think. But that's good that they're winning, though. They finding ways to win. Cam Ward is a dog. I'm happy for him. I wish he'd have came to the other team in Florida, but by that time we had signed DJ U, because remember Cam originally was going to the NFL draft. And then last minute came back and signed with Miami. But
so I don't know, man. It's a little bit of both, but you know, hey, we see y'all coming up soon. To all you fans, enjoy y'all little moment, because it's been a minute. It's been a minute.
I agree, I say more luck than good, but yeah. equally spread out for them.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good for them though. They, you know, anytime, it's like you were talking about with us, but anytime, and I hate, you know, I like to see spread out football too, but anytime Florida State, Florida, Miami is good, that's how you want football, you know what I'm saying? Those three teams, you always, you know, we so used to them motherfuckers just being that squad. But
yeah,
it's different nowadays because Florida's struggling too. They about to fire their coach.
Well, they still have, you know, a pretty good, hefty schedule that they gotta fight.
You got that right.
So, like I say, I'm not ready to crown them the top right now. I mean, they have some really good moments, but I'm not ready to crown those guys yet.
Yeah, nah, not at all. That's it for that one, I believe. Fuck to you.
And lastly, let's talk about Bronny James. Bronny James. I'm gonna be quick about this, but
you Bron sexual, you better be.
How has Bronny James been looking so far? And honestly, I can't even tell you. Because I haven't watched anything yet. I've been too locked in on football. Uh-huh. So, you know, I didn't watch the preseason game that they had the other day. I didn't even really look at the highlights from the first game. What I can tell you is that, yes, I saw that Bron and Bronny were on the court at the same time against Phoenix.
I also saw
Bronny's stat line, and he didn't do much. I think he had 0 points in that game, and then in the first game, he only had like 2 points because what was it, against Minnesota and the young Kentucky guard cooked.
Dillingham?
His debut, yeah. Rob Dillingham. He had like 21 points, 4 threes or something of that sort. So, yeah.
Can I get a?
How has Bronny looked? He hasn't looked very good, in my opinion. But that's still, the jury's still out on that. I haven't really sat down and watched much of Bronny play yet. But I can't say that he's looked good. You know, I would have expected him to have a better output as much as people were talking about him.
They like to show the little block he had. If they don't tell you that, he's the one that turned the ball over. So he knew he was about to go run down there because he realized he was about to turn the ball over. The second game, he had like 5 turnovers. I mean, listen, he is what we thought he was. The Bama averaged 4 points a game in college. You only did because of your daddy. They can do this front cover-up bullshit. J.J. Redick talking about, he trains so hard. He listens to everything. Cut the shit, man. If he wasn't LeBron's son, y'all could have signed Rod Strickland, and he's 53 years old. Come on, man. Get him out of there. Send his ass to the G League. Just let him try. He ain't better than Marcus Jordan.
Yeah. Marcus Jordan.
He's not better than Marcus Jordan. He's terrible, man. It's bad.
It's bad out there. And then he playing against simps. Wait till you playing against all starters for real. And I think they got him at the point. You know what James Harden is going to do to him?
Come on, man.
You know what Ja Morant is going to do to him?
Come on, man.
That motherfucker going to be on Shaq and the Fool. And the only reason he might not, because you know all these motherfuckers sensitive. And I will, let me take this back now. My man Cam today did y'all like go on Bronny a little bit. And I'm surprised because you know Cam an Ohio nigga for real. Yeah, he do rap Harlem, but he an Ohio nigga for real. So Cam did go at him. He did give, you know, he did give his, you know, hey, you know, I'm doing my job bit. But Cam definitely went out. But yeah, you know, the rest of these mugs ain't gonna touch on it like that. You can see how they covering that shit already. Most of them not showing his turnover, but they definitely show the block he made. Like, come on, man. This Jonas is a joke. He got 2 points in two games. Come on, man. And got a goddamn guaranteed contract. No second rounder has ever gotten a guaranteed contract. Don't tell me that y'all treating him like y'all treat everybody else, because that's bullshit. So, I don't know. He definitely going. I feel like if they don't take him down to the G League, they're doing that boy a disservice, man. And yeah, I'm not a huge LeBron fan. Don't get it twisted, though. I say he's the second best player of all time. I just don't care for LeBron sexuals or LeBron. Actually, most people I fuck with love LeBron, but I just can't be with him. But I just think it's unfair, especially if he gets to a starting roster. That's somebody that really could have used that roster spot and had a chance to maybe make the NBA. And knowing this kid, he ain't that, man. Not right now. Now, let's say in 2 or 3 years, could he not be?
Maybe.
That's different. That's
we'll
different.
See.
So,
but right now, he ain't it. Man, I'm going to have to go with that until I really put eyes on him.
No bullshit. All right, brother. I think that's about it.
That's a wrap for today. Appreciate you for being on task and
for sure.
Being ready to go, my brother.
No problem. I got some pork and swine for you in the mail, baby. Don't you forget to eat that.
I'm good on the pork on my fork.
All right, bro. Hey,
keep the hogs ready though. For this weekend, you're gonna need them in Baltimore.
Hey, for sure. All right, bro. I'm gonna holler at you.
All right, peace.